Good morning. It looks like we have a little bit of technical difficulty. Somebody tell me, did that bring the screen back up? No. I think the HDMI cable is getting to the point where it don't want to work. What about now? No? Huh. We'll fix that.
Is it coming up now?
Both of them? I don't want nobody not reading. All right, before we get started, Johnny has asked that we as a congregation have a prayer for his wife. So if you will, please all bow with me and let's pray. Father, it is with heavy hearts and minds that we come to you at this time. We petition you on your throne that you be with Laura in this time of sickness and illness. We pray, Father, that you be with the doctors and those who are attending her, that the things that they will do will help benefit her. And Father, if it be your will, we ask that you would restore her health. Father, we're also asking and praying for Johnny. We ask, Father, that you would give him the strength and the courage that he needs to help his wife, Laura, in any fashion that is necessary. Knowing, Father, that one day it may come to the point of death. But knowing also, Father, that it is your will. And we understand that in life, there is death. And we pray, Father, that you will help us to help him and to help Laura to understand that this is simply a part of living. We know, Father, that at times like this we ache and we mourn and we cry. And we know, Father, that it is through your word and your son Jesus that we can find comfort. And may we help Johnny and Laura turn to you to find that peace and to find that comfort. We pray all of this in Jesus' name. Amen. Major prophet in the minor prophets. And I hope the screen is still working. Mike, if they go off, let me know. If you're interested in Jesus, then you should also be interested in the prophets. In the book of Revelation, chapter 19 and verse 10, John writes, "And I fell at his feet to worship him. And he said unto me, See thou do it not, I am thy fellow servant and of thy brethren, and have the testimony of Jesus. Worship God. For the testimony of Jesus is in the spirit of prophecy." John here is telling us that Jesus can be found in prophecy. The prophets were the ones who spoke when God directed them and spoke what God wanted them to say. In Luke chapter 24 and verse 44, "And he said unto them, These are the words which I spake unto you while I was yet with you, that all things must be fulfilled which were written in the law of Moses, and in the prophets, and in the Psalms concerning me." Jesus said that all that had been written of him in the law and the prophets and the Psalms must be fulfilled. So when we read the prophets, when we read the Old Testament, can we not also go into our New Testament and see the fulfillment for the prophecy. The prophets were great and godly men who could not be silenced by bribery or threat. A small brief background of the book of Jonah, and I appreciate Brother Mike and what he said as he read the scripture. Jonah was a pre-exile prophet. Jonah wrote his prophecy about the city of Nineveh. Now, Nineveh was not too far from where Jonah actually lived. If I remember correctly, it was about 15 or 20 miles away. So we understand that Jonah knew exactly where God wanted him to go. He knew the people. He knew the evil of the people because they were a warring people. Jonah perhaps was afraid to go, but I believe as we read and study a little bit about Jonah, that it was more because Jonah was concerned of God's mercy. Jonah wanted Nineveh to be destroyed. We can see that towards the end of the book. The book was written approximately in 780 B.C., approximately 60 years before the Israelites were conquered by Assyria. Now, we all know there's many things that we can learn in the book of Jonah. And the first one that pops up in most people's head is the fact about Jonah being swallowed by the big fish. That's a great story. You know, we teach that story to our young children to help them understand that God is all-powerful. How can a God, or how can a person being swallowed by a big fish survive? It was through the power and the providence of God. But the first thing that we can learn from the book of Jonah is the simple fact that all men are accountable to God. Look at Jonah chapter 1 and verse 2. Arise and go to Nineveh, that great city, and cry against it, for their wickedness has come up before me. Even though they were Gentiles, and even though they did not have the law of Moses, it did not mean that they were not accountable to God. God wanted them to change their ways. They were very wicked. God wanted them to change. But Jonah, because I believe he understood fully God's grace and God's mercy, Jonah didn't want to go. He didn't want to go and cry out against the city and the people that lived there. But you know what? God told Jonah to arise and go to the city of Nineveh. We have a similar command for us today, do we not? Look at Mark chapter 16 and verse 15. And he said unto them, go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. Now we know, if we truly study what that verse is saying, it's basically as we go about our daily life, we have the command to do what? To preach and to teach the gospel to every person that will listen. Many times we teach and we preach by the way we live our lives. You know, we may not have, you know, a Bible study where we sit down across the table or across the room from another person with Bibles in our laps and teach the gospel. Many times it's simply how we live that teach others about Jesus Christ. Just because, again, the Gentiles did not have the law of Moses does not mean that they were not accountable to God. Just because the world has not obeyed the gospel does not mean that they are not accountable to God, because they are. Secondly, it does not mean that God did not love them. God loved the people of Nineveh. That's why He wanted Jonah to go and preach to them. You know, we all run, don't we? We all run. The question is whether we will run with God or run from God. That's the question. Jonah chapter 1 and verse 3. But Jonah rose up to flee to Tarshish. He started to run. He ran from the presence of the Lord and went down to Joppa, and he found a ship going to Tarshish, so he paid the fare thereof and went down into it to go with them to Tarshish from the presence of the Lord. Jonah was running from God, as Brother Mike stated before he read the Scripture. He jumped up and ran. How many people today run from God? How many people today who have heard the gospel, but yet simply refuse to obey? And they give all kinds of excuses. Jonah ran from God. There's somebody else that we can talk about that ran from God. In Mark chapter 10 and verse 23, we see the parable of the rich young man who came running to Jesus and kneeled down and said, "Master, what one thing must I do to be saved?" And Jesus simply said, Why are you calling me good? There's only one that's good. "Well, what can I do to be saved? What one thing must I do?" Jesus told him. He said, "I've done all this from my childhood up." Then Jesus told him to go and sell and give to the poor everything that he owned. And what happened? He got up and went away sorrowful because he had great possessions. Another man running from God. Jonah ran. The rich young man ran from God. But you know what? We do have some passages of Scripture to show us men who ran with God. Look at Acts chapter 10 and verse 5. This is about Cornelius, the Gentile. "And now send men to Joppa." Remember, he had a dream, had a vision. "Send men to Joppa and call for one Simon whose surname is Peter." Cornelius, even though he was a Gentile, was trying to run with God. He refused to not believe. So what did he do? Well, he sent men to Joppa. Notice, if you will, in verse 23. "Then called he them in and lodged them, and on the morrow Peter went away with them, and certain brethren from Joppa accompanied him." Peter went to Cornelius. Peter ran with God, just as Cornelius was running with God. But Cornelius needed to learn and understand how to be a child of God. Jonah was one of God's prophets. And at the beginning, Jonah simply ran from God. The rich young man ran from God. Cornelius and Peter, just two examples, ran with God. Sin is not personal or private. Did you know that? Sin isn't personal or private. Sin almost always involves others. Sin almost always involves someone else. Notice what happens here in Jonah chapter 1. And let's look at this in verse 12 through 14. "And he said unto them, Take me up and cast me forth into the sea. So shall the sea be calm unto you, for I know that for my sake this great tempest is upon you. Nevertheless, the men rowed hard to bring it to the land, but they could not, for the sea wrought and was tempestuous against them. Jonah was the one that sinned, because Jonah ran from God, but it also involved those in the ship that he was in. A great storm come up. They were being swamped. Jonah asked, said, "Hey, I know why this is happening. Just pick me up and throw me overboard and everything will be great." But they didn't want to do that. Notice it goes on. "Wherefore they cried unto the Lord and said, We beseech thee, O Lord, we beseech thee, let us not perish for this man's life, and lay not upon us innocent blood. For thou, O Lord, hast done as it pleased thee." They didn't want to throw Jonah overboard. They asked basically God for mercy. "Don't let this innocent man's blood be on our hands." Because they knew that if they just throwed him overboard, in their mind, their human thinking, because of the great storm, Jonah would drown. But Jonah's sin involved the entire company of the ship. Then we read in Romans chapter 4 and verse 17. Paul writes, "For none of us liveth to himself, and no man dieth to himself." Sin isn't really all that private. It almost always involves other people. Regardless, we may think, "Well, I just sinned myself," but stop and think about who it might involve. If you decide that, "Well, it's not really all that bad. I don't think God will condemn me for doing this one thing." But you know what? It almost always does. We need to preach what God tells us to preach. Look at Jonah chapter 3 and verse 2. "Arise," this is the second time, "arise, go into Nineveh, that great city, and preach unto it the preaching that I bid thee." It's not what Jonah wanted to say, but it's what God wanted him to say. The idea here is that we must preach and teach what God says, not what we say. 2 Timothy chapter 4 and verse 2, "Preach the word. Be instant, in season, out of season. Reprove, rebuke, exhort with all longsuffering and doctrine." That's preaching and teaching God's word, not ourselves. Too many times people want to teach themselves and not God and Christ. Why does God want us to preach the gospel? Why does God want us to teach the gospel? Why does God, want us as we go teach and preach? I'll tell you why. In fact, I won't tell you. Paul will. Romans chapter 1 and verse 16, "For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first, and also to the Greek." That word there, power, literally is the idea of dynamite. It's explosive. The gospel will explode and people will believe. We are to teach and to preach what God tells us to preach. And we have been told to teach and to preach Jesus Christ and Him crucified. Nothing more, nothing less. It's not about me. It's not about you. It's about Jesus Christ dying on the cross. Discipline and repentance go hand in hand. Look at Jonah chapter 2 and verses 1 and 2. Then Jonah prayed unto the Lord his God out of the fish's belly and said, I cried by reason of my affliction unto the Lord. I tell you what, if I was in the belly of a big fish, I'd be crying and praying too. This man, 3 days in the belly of that fish. Then Jonah prayed unto the Lord his God out of the fish's belly and said, I cried by reason of my affliction unto the Lord, and he heard me. Out of the belly of hell cried I, and thou heardest my voice. Do you think Jonah repented then? Do you think Jonah was saying to himself, man, I wish I'd have just went where God wanted me to go and said what God wanted me to say. Jonah didn't know if he's ever going to get out of that fish. Discipline and repentance go hand in hand. You know, discipline is never pleasant, but it brings about good. Hebrews chapter 12, verses 5 and 6. And ye have forgotten the exhortation which speaketh unto you as unto children, my sons. Despise not thou the chastening of the Lord. In other words, don't fight the discipline of the Lord. Nor faint when thou art rebuked of him. For whom the Lord loveth, he chasteneth and scourgeth every son he receiveth. How many of us as parents have we not actually disciplined our children to correct an error? Have we ever spanked our children because they did something that would harm them? Or perhaps saying things that they shouldn't be saying? Did we do it out of love or did we do it out of hatred? Well, I know when I corrected my children, it was done out of love. And I believe everyone here that's had children would say the same thing. God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son. God loved the world that He gave His Son to die on the cross in our stead, even though we were the guilty party. If we're chastened by God, if we're disciplined, it's because God loves us and not hate us. Discipline, again, is never pleasant, but it should bring about good. We need to guard our attitude, don't we? We need to guard our attitude. Jonah chapter 4, verses 1 and 2. But it displeased Jonah exceedingly. Jonah got all bent out of shape. He was all upset because God did not destroy Nineveh. But it displeased Jonah exceedingly, and he was very angry. Angry at God. Because God didn't just strike them down. Then he goes on, and he prayed unto the Lord and said, I pray thee, O Lord, was not this my saying when I was yet in my country? Therefore I fled before unto Tarshish, for I knew that thou art a gracious God. Remember earlier when I said I believe that Jonah fled because he knew of the grace of God and that he wanted the city of Nineveh flattened? He said, I knew this before I even left. I knew what you would do. For I knew that thou art a gracious God and merciful, slow to anger and of great kindness, and repenteth thee of the evil. Have we ever been angry at God because God didn't do what we thought God should have done? Have we ever become upset with God because that person hurt me so bad, I want you to strike back at them, I want you to punish them? Have we ever thought that or maybe said that? This is what Jonah was doing. He was belly aching to God. God, you didn't do what you said you was going to do. I knew this was going to happen. We cannot be angry with God's grace. We simply can't. Take your Bibles, if you will, and turn to the book of Matthew chapter 20. I'm not going to read the entire 16 verses. But here we have the parable of the householder who went out early in the morning to hire laborers for his vineyard. He hired a bunch of people at the very start of the day. Then he went back and hired more and he hired more. And finally, you go all the way down to the 11th hour, he went out and hired even more. And payday came. Now, the ones I hired first, you pay them first. Notice, if you will, verses 10 and 11. But when the first came, they supposed that they should have received more. And they likewise received every man a penny. And when they had received it, they murmured against the good man of the house. And then in verse 12, saying, these last have wrought but 1 hour. They've only worked one hour of the day. And he goes on, and thou hast made them equal to us. They got upset. They agreed to the wage in the very beginning. So why should they complain to the household owner about the wages? You know, it's kind of like us many times. We complain to God because we might think, well, God, you're blessing that person more than you're blessing me. I've been a Christian forever. And look, they've only been a Christian for a day or two, a week, a month, a year. Why can't you bless me like that, Lord? Again, let's go back to the children. Which of your child do you love the most? Or do you love them all equally? The house owner was being fair to all of his workers. He paid them what he agreed to pay them and what they agreed to work for. Our children, we don't have a favorite. We love them just as much as an individual as a whole. But did you know that Jonah was a prefigure, a type of the Christ? Matthew chapter 20 and verse 40. For as Jonas was 3 days and 3 nights in the whale's belly, so shall the Son of Man be 3 days and 3 nights in the heart of the earth. We can see Jesus in the book of Jonah. We can see a lot of things in the book of Jonah, more than simply the big fish that swallowed a man and spit him out back on dry land. There is a lot more. We can learn that Jonah tells us that all men are accountable to God. It tells us there that all men run, that sin isn't personal or private, that we need to preach God's word, and that discipline and repentance goes hand in hand, and that we need to guard our attitude, and that he was a precursor or a type of Christ. There's so much to learn from the book of Jonah. Just don't allow the account of the great fish cause us to miss the great God who is revealed in this short minor prophet book. The same God who loves sinful Nineveh loves you and He loves me. And He wants us all to repent if we have fallen into sin.